Our last story today is about a groundbreaking young adult novel. In fact, the groundbreaking young adult novel. In the late 1960s, it made publishers see that adolescents were attracted to books that weren't preachy or treacly, or about the Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew solving the mystery. They wanted realistic stories about the very sweet pain of growing up. S.E. Hinton was a teenager herself in 1967 when she published her novel about rival groups in her hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Outsiders was an instant hit. And then it became one all over again when Francis Ford Coppola made it into a movie starring Hollywood Dreamboats 1983, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Matt Dillon, and Tom Cruise. I asked Lou Olkowski to find out why this story has spoken to three generations of American kids and counting.
I made a D in creative writing the year I was writing The Outsiders. I love bringing that up.
Susan Eloise Hinton was a sophomore at Will Rogers High School in Tulsa when she began The Outsiders. You probably know her as S.E.
The use of my initials came about because my publishers didn't want the first reviewers to see a book about social class warfare, mainly about boys, and see it was written by a girl and think, well, a girl wouldn't know anything about this. But one day when a friend of mine got beat up on his way home from school, I got mad and began a short story. And that was the beginning of The Outsiders.
When I spotted that red Corvair trailing me, I was almost two blocks from home then, so I started walking a little faster.
Set in the early 1960s, The Outsiders is about a bunch of poor kids, the greasers, who are terrorized by the rich kids, the socias.
I had never been jumped, but I had seen Johnny after four socias got a hold of him, and it wasn't pretty.
It's told from the perspective of Ponyboy, one of the youngest greasers. Like Nick Carraway from The Great Gatsby, that other great book about social class, Ponyboy watches it all.
I remember Johnny, his face all cut up and bruised, and I remember how he had cried when we found him, half conscious in the corner lot.
I lived The Outsiders. I think that's why it's so immediate to people, because I was in that book living it.
Missy Hinton still lives in Tulsa, and she still drives past the places that inspired the book.
I will take you through the Socias neighborhood. It's where the old oil mansions are.
I have to say, it's hard to not feel kind of poor driving through this neighborhood.
No kidding. As you can see, the rich people here are very rich. I mean, very rich. And the pockets of poverty are very, very poor. So you do have two extremes.
The extremes were most obvious in how kids dressed. The socias wore button-down shirts.
Meanwhile, the greasers, you know, blue jeans, white T-shirts, black leather jackets, and of course anybody could dress like that, but you wouldn't do it unless you were a greaser. Next stop is going by the high school. Back there in the back parking lot was where the greasers hung out, but the socias hung out in that main entrance, so you just didn't use that entrance.
The greaser kids would actually come into school from the other door?
Oh yeah, you didn't go through that door. Was your soap. But it wasn't like imposed by the adults, the school, or your parents, or anything. It was kids imposing rules on themselves.
In fact, adults barely show up in The Outsiders. It's an all-teenage world created by a teenager.
I started off typing on my father's, it was an antique, even then, Underwood. And, man, I must have had some muscles in my fingers because I still have that thing, and it's not easy to...
Hey, Grease, one said in an over-friendly voice. We're going to do you a favor, Greaser. We're going to cut all that long, greasy hair off.
At one point, Ponyboy and his best friend Johnny get jumped by the socias again. But this time, they fight back, and Johnny accidentally kills one of them with a switchblade.
Something bad can happen at any moment, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's Elizabeth Bird. She works in the kids section at New York Public Library.
There's no higher power that they ever call upon at any moment. There's no trusted adult that they turn to when things are getting rough. It's entirely on themselves. And people die.
Circumstances under which I was writing, which I don't want to go into, but personally it was very, very difficult.
When she was 15, Hinton's father was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And the more and more time he spent in the hospital, the more time she spent writing.
One of the things I really loved about writing was getting to be in another world.
When Essie finished The Outsiders, she gave it to a friend whose mother wrote children's books. She thought it was good enough to go to an agent.
But I was idle conversation with my mother. I said, you know, if I ever sold my book, could I get a car? And she's going, sure, hon. You sell your book, you get a car. And my younger sister hears this, and she's like, sell your book, we'll get a car, we'll get a car. And she's the one that actually bundled it up and sent it off.
Viking, the second publisher to see it, snatched up the publishing rights, and Essie got her car.
It was the first year Camaros came out, so I got a Camaro, and my sister was running around going, I sent the book in, and she put the first dent in the car, too.
The Outsiders definitely changed things.
It led the way towards a whole new genre of writing for teenagers called New Realism.
And you got some very brave books. Prior to The Outsiders, there wasn't this established understanding that teens liked dark fiction, which is so funny today when you consider like the huge swaths of depressing teen literature that they just gobble up like crazy.
But for all of its realism, The Outsiders has some pretty far-fetched plot twists. After killing the Soche, Johnny and Ponyboy go on the run. Their friend Dally, the toughest and coolest of the greasers, gives them some money, a gun, and tells them to hide out in an abandoned church. Then there's a fire, and Johnny and Ponyboy rescue some little kids who just happen to be there.
There's a field trip at the abandoned church? Are you kidding me? Like, it makes no sense whatsoever.
And this is coming from a fan, Heather Och, a performer and high school drama teacher.
My first copy of The Outsiders was given to me by Mrs. Hark, who was my English teacher in junior high. I thought she was really cool. She wore dangly earrings. I just remember I loved it immediately. I really did.
Still, Heather remembers cringing when Johnny and Ponyboy kill time reading Gone with the Wind.
What little dudes are going to hang out and read Gone with the Wind to each other?
It doesn't have a reputation of being an ooey-gooey novel, even though it has some really, touching, sweet moments between them.
You ain't like any of the gang. I mean, I couldn't tell Tubit or Steve or even Derry about the sunrise and clouds and stuff. I mean, they just don't dig. Johnny shrugged. Yeah, he said with a sigh. I guess we're different.
Some of it's false, like it's over-the-top emotions. And, the drama are what make it so popular because that's the way kids really feel. You gotta have the hormones going before you can really appreciate that book.
Which is why, every school year, there's a new generation of teenagers who eat it up. Back in 1983, one of those teens was Christy Bishop. She was an eighth grader at Lone Star Junior High School in Fresno, California.
I read it and then reread it and read it again and read it probably three more times.
Which meant Christy got to know the school librarian, Joellen Misakian, pretty well.
And so she's like, well, here, let's make a petition and we will send it off to Francis Ford Coppola. Just looking back at the petition, it's so cute because, it's seventh and eighth grade girly handwriting with big hearts and flowers and smiley faces.
I have a copy of that letter. Hi, I'm Ralph Macchio. I played Johnny Cade in the film The Outsiders. And that's just the greatest story. Coppola tells that story all the time.
Amazingly, the petition worked. As they began to adapt the story, Coppola's producer, Fred Roos, kept in touch with the students. Early on, Fred even asked for their feedback on the script. Joellen went to L.A. to give him notes in person.
I just said, Fred, we really don't like the script. It's not true to the book. We just don't like it.
It is kind of ballsy.
I know. You're right. You're right, it is ballsy.
But they rewrote the script. As the film was in production, Joellen organized conference calls with Coppola and the film's heartthrob cast.
Be quiet.
Matt Dillon, C. Thomas Howell.
No wiggling.
And Ralph Macchio.
Hello, is this Ralph Macchio?
Yeah, how are you?
That's so me.
Wow, we're just great. Go ahead, cheer.
Nearly 30 years later, Ralph Macchio still remembers the kids in Fresno.
I would like to know, how did you like your role in The Outsiders?
I like the role. I love The Outsiders. That book, I read the book in seventh grade. Same as most of you. And
I was obviously very excited.
Hi, I'm a teacher here at Lone Star School. And I'd like to know, what message would you like to get across to your audiences through this role?
Just believe in, yourself. Because that was Johnny's problem in his whole life. He never believed in himself. He never had confidence in himself. He was always nervous he was going to get beat up again. And towards the end of the movie, he started gaining confidence in himself.
It was at that point before they go in to save the kids when Johnny starts telling Dallas what they're going to do.
We're going back. We're going to turn ourselves in.
What?
I got a good chance of being let off easy. It was self-defense. You just said Pony and Jerry can testify to that.
All of a sudden, you just see him come out of his shell.
So you won't get in any trouble, Dal.
Are you sure? This is what you want to do?
Yeah, I'm sure, man. It ain't fair for Johnny.
It would be really interesting to see how Johnny would have progressed from that point because there was he took the reins.
But Johnny never gets the chance. With Dally and Ponyboy at his side, he dies from the burns he got rescuing the kids in the church fire. But his experience of finding himself after being uncomfortable in his own skin rang true for thousands of teenagers.
If you're a freak, a weirdo, an outcast, an outsider in any way, you love those stories. You want those stories. And that really can help lift you up.
The other thing the book has going for it is sex appeal. It's a teenage girl's fantasy about teenage boys. And with the movie, Coppola ran with it. For Heather, the drama teacher, it was a major turn-on.
I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my God, it's so homoerotic. Totally softcore porn for me. I mean, when Johnny kills the Soche, everybody gets wet. When the rumble happens, everybody gets wet. It's just like buff dudes in wet t-shirts, like, for a large portion of the movie. Oh, the rich people trying to keep me down. We'll fight them. Great. Take your shirt off. Like, roll around in the mud. I want the rain coming down. Yes. Not only are you, like, muddy and rolling around, but you're, like, fighting the man.
The outsider, with his blue jeans, leather jacket, and slicked back hair, became Heather's romantic ideal.
I wanted this person. I wanted the person who was going to, read a poem and talk to me about the sunset and then would go kick somebody's ass if they were going to f*** with me.
But she didn't necessarily want a man. Heather knew she wasn't alone, so she decided to stage a live performance of The Outsiders.
In the role that was made famous by Ralph Macchio.
I love the story of The Outsiders. Who do I want to be in it? A bunch of random dudes? No. I want my world of people. Like, let's do this. This is for us.
Her people are gay or queer or butch or trans.
If you get cold.
Because there wasn't a book that was a bunch of queer freaks, doing what they were doing. Like, we placed ourselves on those white boys, We're like, yeah, they're standing up. They're standing up to the socias. They're standing up to the rich people. They're standing up to the people who are putting them down. We were able to, take that and make it our own.
Maybe The Outsiders continues to attract a wide audience because so many of us have felt bullied or marginalized and feel like there's always a group of insiders who live by different rules.
And you can't win against them, no matter how hard you try, because they've got all the breaks, and even whipping them isn't going to change that fact.
45 years later, The Outsiders' story of class warfare is as relevant as ever. Again, librarian Betsy Bird.
That might be the element to it that has survived unchanged then or now. That is always going to be the haves and the have-nots. The divide is getting bigger and bigger all the time, and this book talks about that. A lot of books for teens and kids do not.
By the end of The Outsiders, Dally, the super tough guy, is so distraught by Johnny's death that he kills himself in a standoff with the cops. But for the rest of the greasers, everything goes back to the way it always was.
Ponyboy is poor at the outset of the novel and he is poor at the end of the novel.
Eric Tribunella is a professor of children's literature at the University of Mississippi.
His older brother had wanted to be a football star and go to college, but he can't do that because he's got to stay home and take care of his younger brothers. And that is not resolved at the end of the novel because there is no resolution.
In the final tear-jerking pages, Ponyboy finds a goodbye letter from his friend Johnny.
Like green. When you're a kid, everything's new. Like the way you dig sunsets, Pony. That's gold. Keep it that way. It's a good way to be. And don't be so bugged over being a greaser. You still have a lot of time to make yourself be what you want. There's still lots of good in the world. Tell Dally. I don't think he knows.
It ends on what appears to be this hopeful note that Ponyboy is going to finish high school, that he's going to go off to college, and that maybe he will attain middle-class status and all will be well.
Which made sense to high school sophomore Susan Eloise Hinton. But now, in the age of the 99%, Ponyboy's future feels a little less hopeful.
The alternative is for Ponyboy to get a bunch of his friends and occupy Wall Street. I mean, the alternative is some kind of broader social movement. But that's not where Ponyboy goes. That's not where the novel goes.
Instead, as a response to Johnny's letter and as makeup work for his English class, Ponyboy writes the story of the Outsiders.
I could picture hundreds and hundreds of boys living on the wrong sides of cities. Boys with black eyes who jumped at their own shadows. Hundreds of boys who maybe watched sunsets and looked at stars and ached for something better. Someone should tell their side of the story.
I was just telling the truth about what I saw going on. You know, that part of it's timeless. The names and the uniforms change, but it doesn't matter.
There will always be outsiders. The only question is, can the outsiders ever find something better?
That was Lou Olkowski. We've got dozens more stories about this country's defining, enduring works of culture. They are all at studio360.org/American Icons.